Countdown to Australia versus Argentina is on, the round of 16 for the FIFA World Cup. We cannot wait for it here, the Keep Up team in Qatar. We've got another special podcast for you to get you ready for the action at the World Cup. David Wiener with you, joined by David Davidovich, Tom Smithies. But as the stakes rise, we've got a special guest today, South American football expert Michael Place, joining us to help run the rule over Argentina. We've got 48 hours to kick off, so we're getting the quick dossier for all of you at home about what we need to know about Argentina beyond Lionel Messi. So I'm brushing you two blokes. Michael, welcome. How are you?
Thanks, Dave. Yeah, very well. Happy to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Brilliant stuff.
I wanted to get him on a couple of days ago. I had a good feeling about this. I thought the Socceroos were going to get through. We're going to face Argentina. But you said, no, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's hold fire. But here we are. Better late than never.
And the boss was right.
Yeah.
Perfect timing.
I put a ban on Tom looking at accommodation and flights before the game. Let's not jinx this. And we're here to tell the tale. So absolutely brilliant. Michael, what's your reaction to the draw to kick us off? Argentina getting through frenetic scenes as the group was decided. Learning you're facing Australia, Argentina's facing Australia, what was the reaction?
Well, the Argentinians are not taking Australia lightly, we can say that. I mean, the expectation would be that, you know, they probably would have thought that Australia would have been knocked out and they'd be facing another opponent. But looking at the Argentine press today, speaking to people in Argentina this morning, they're looking at Australia as being a tough opponent. And they were impressed by the game last night. They've been impressed by the way Australia have played so far. The media there have been talking about Australia's technical ability, their pragmatism, and the fact that, as we all know, they've been very good in defence. So Argentina know they're going to have their work cut out.
Has there been any residual comment as well about the fact that the Peru game, and so the South American audience is no stranger to what Australia has done. Obviously, the Uruguay history is something there as well, but obviously Peru would have been expecting to be at the World Cup. Has that weighed into the previews at all?
Yeah, not so much Peru. I think, as you say, that people are very aware of Australia because of the fact that there has been that long history of playoff matches. And let's not forget Argentina in 1993 against Australia, where Diego Maradona was obviously a part of that team. So, and the Argentines have mentioned that in the build-up already to the game with Australia. So, people in Argentina are very aware of the Australian threat and the fact that there is a long history of, you know, Australia competitiveness against South American teams.
Socceroos coach Graham Arnold played in that game, of course, in 1993.
That's right.
Played five times against Australia. Said he won two of them. And he's coached against them a couple of times as well.
Interesting. And a fun fact, Alexis McAllister's father, Carlos, he was capped three times for Argentina and he played in both of those games. So it's going to be one of those rare moments where father and son both play against an opponent.
Yeah, well, opponent. I remember him with the red hair. And they were really close, those games. I mean, it was 1-1 at the Sydney Football Stadium and, you know, it was only 1-0 with a deflected goal. It took a wild deflection and went over Robbie Zabica over in Buenos Aires, and they had a shocking qualification campaign, but Diego coming back from his long ban, that really inspired them to get over the line.
Yeah, there is an interesting history with the Olympics as well in recent times. Obviously, Australia won just last year. Marco Tilio, of course, scoring that fantastic goal as well. And if you go back to the 2008 Olympics as well, certainly Lionel Messi was playing against the Oli Roos at that point. And I think you were there, Tom, as well.
I was in the stadium in Shanghai watching desperate rearguard action. Australia, or the Oli Roos, held out till the 76th minute. And then Argentina put something like 497 passes together and scored. So normal service was resumed.
Are these youth matches, because Australia and Argentina have played a hell of a lot at under-20 level and under-23 level. Is it referenced at all in the Argentine press? Or
not really, no. Not that I've seen. People don't make reference to it. But, I think in generally speaking, as I say, they're taking Australia seriously. We know there's so much pressure on Argentina. There's so much pressure on, I don't know, we're going to be talking about Lionel Messi, I'm sure, but we'll bring Lionel Messi into play now. It's a game that he just has to win, doesn't he? Because, I mean, people say that Lionel Messi can never be considered among the world's greatest players unless he wins a World Cup. There are people of the belief that's not true, that, you know, he's already proved he's won 7 Ballon d'Ors, it doesn't matter. But Jurgen Klinsmann, I think, is one that has actually gone out on record saying, no, he can never be considered among the world's best if he doesn't win a World Cup. There's that school of thought from Xavi, for example, that says, no, you know, players like Messi come along every 50 years. But, you know, this game, it's a big game for Australia, but it's a big game for Argentina. It's a massive game for Lionel Messi.
Because you have the contrast of Maradona in particular, yeah, who didn't have that longevity necessarily for reasons that we all know, but carried his nation to a World Cup, which is why so many people regard him as the greatest.
To a degree, the Australians are going to be trying to shoot Bambi because so many people want Messi to win a World Cup. Even that penalty that Argentina got in against Poland, you know, there was furious conspiracy theories on social media that FIFA basically ordered the referee to give a penalty so that Messi could be guaranteed passage. And when he missed it, obviously there was a great deal of hilarity. But socceroos are trying to... Unfortunately, they won't be the neutral's favourite because everybody's going to want Messi to go through.
Michael, you've obviously spent some time around Argentina training as well, and I think just being able to paint a picture of the contrast to, like, we thought the Socceroos press back for what we relatively get for football in Australia is big, but it's almost a bit of a laughing stock when you compare it to what you've been witnessing and what the Argentine press have been witnessing and experiencing so far here in Qatar.
Yeah, spot on, David. The press in Argentina this morning were making mention of that very fact, saying that they went out, they accompanied the Australian training session this morning, and they reported on the fact that they saw about 20 reporters and 7 cameramen.
A 3 from Keep Up. That just blew them away.
Yeah. And they said that they were the only Argentine press there. Yeah. So, and they compared that to Argentina. Obviously, there are dozens or even hundreds of press following Lionel Messi around.
How many are, do you think? Is it in the hundreds from Argentina?
Well, the press conference the night before Argentina's first game.
That was a lot.
There was not a single centimetre of space in that press room. It was packed to the rafters.
So you're talking a room of 150, 200 seats.
Mm. Exactly. Yeah, and probably hundreds.
That's right. Actually, I got locked out. Yeah, I didn't make it in time. I came, 15 minutes beforehand? Probably queued 20 deep out the door if anyone could get in while someone else had a toilet break and lost their seat.
Yeah. Well, it's not just the press. You look at the locals here. They're either wearing the neutrals or even just the Qatari supporters. They've often got a Lionel Messi shirt on or a Brazil shirt or possibly a Ronaldo shirt. But, you know, Argentina are huge news here, not only for the press but for the people.
Paint a picture for us back in Argentina and in South America, but Argentina particularly. What will it be like when this game kicks off? And just digging a little bit deeper into Lionel Messi and, you know, the weight of expectations on this player and looking at, you know, his the career, his Argentine national team career, which has been a real roller coaster ride.
Yeah, well, the pressure on Argentina, you cannot understate. Lionel Scaloni, their manager, after the first match was bombarded by the Argentine press. And you could tell that he really felt that pressure, and the Argentine team felt the pressure.
The loss to Saudi Arabia.
Exactly. So he said several times to the media after that game that the sun will come up tomorrow. It's, you know, it's not the end of the world. And it was almost felt like he was trying to convince himself that, you know, it's not that important, because everything around him was telling him that it is, and that it's life or death. Because things are like that in Argentina. Argentinians are very passionate people, whether it comes to sport, politics, whatever. So they'll be feeling the pressure. No doubt they'll be feeling the pressure. We can envisage an Argentina with absolutely no businesses open during the game. You know, shops will be closed. Everybody will be glued to the TV to watch the game, because they know that it's not only an important game for Argentina but for Lionel Messi. As you say, he's the biggest player since Diego Maradona. Many people say he's bigger than even Maradona. So it's such an important game.
At 4 o'clock in the afternoon, that game is probably going to be...
It will, yeah.
Yeah, so paint a picture for us if it happens that Argentina do lose. What would the reaction be like?
I wouldn't even like to imagine what that would be. I wouldn't like to contemplate it, to be honest, because it will be devastating for the country. I mean, we saw when Diego Maradona died a couple of years ago, they obviously had a state funeral, a national funeral, and I think it was 3 days of public holidays. It was a devastating moment, and obviously this won't be a death of Messi or of anybody else for that matter, but it will be kind of considered like a death in terms of, you know, Argentina's World Cup hopes going up in smoke and Messi never winning a World Cup. So I think it will be devastating, and you know, we can probably imagine that Argentina will be in mourning for quite a few weeks.
Right. Let's get into the nitty-gritty, shall we, of what we expect from Argentina, because, you know, a team of, when you come into the tournament, we do the previews, there was a fair bit of discussion around it possibly being a South America World Cup. You know, I was thinking Brazil, a lot of people picked Argentina. What state is the team in, Michael? Because it wasn't an easy ride through the group by any means.
No, well, after the first game, it was you know, as I mentioned before, everything is taken to the extreme in Argentina. A big loss is tragic, and a win is, you know, is jubilant. But after the first game, there were huge concerns, and I think they've kind of allayed those fears now, especially with some of the changes they've made. Enzo Fernandez is coming to the team, and he looks like he gives them a lot in midfield. He's a very offensive player. He's able to find space going forward. He's got great passing range. He combines well with Lionel Messi. And I think he's the solution to missing Gio Lo Celso, who was obviously injured just before the tournament. And there are question marks over whether Argentina would have creativity in midfield to fill that void. And Fernandez is showing that they do. So the feeling is good. There is an injury concern hanging over Di Maria. He has a quadricep problem. And the press are saying that he's more of a doubt than not to play against Australia. So good news for the Socceroos.
Di Maria polarises opinion. What are your thoughts on him as a player, his World Cup and his importance to this Argentine team?
He started every game, and while he hasn't set the world on fire, I think he is, just his presence, his experience, he's very well liked. The Argentine team in general is very close-knit, and he's very close to Messi. So apart from that, tactically he's very important for Argentina because he obviously plays wide, he allows the midfield to find space, he combines well with Messi. We saw he set up Messi's first goal in the match against Mexico, his goal against Mexico. And he's very important tactically, but also just for team morale.
You go back to Messi and you know, the importance, the weight, whatever, the scenes of, it was Pablo Aimar, wasn't it, the assistant manager on the bench when he scored. He broke down in tears. You know, one of the greats of Argentine football. I mean, you wouldn't see that with any other national team, would you?
It transcends as well. So today's press conference, Matthew Leckie and Milos Deganet were put up for the Socceroos. And in amongst all the discussion about all the things we've talked about the last couple of weeks, all of a sudden they're being asked specifically about a certain player. They were asked the question, Ronaldo or Messi. And it's interesting because both of them have, we've spent so much time in this trip talking about, it's not about the players, we're not going to mention France, you know, we don't talk about Christian Eriksen. And all of a sudden they're like, yes, I'm a Messi man. But the language is really interesting. Milos Deganek, who, I mean, I'll be running through brick walls for Milos Deganek after each of his press conferences. He's brilliant. But he said there's only one Messi. There's not 11 Messis. But in truth, Michael, how do the Socceroos go about stopping this guy that the world's been trying to do for the last 15 years?
I think that's a question that a lot of people would like to know the answer to. But I think they can probably take heart, and they do well, in my opinion, to look at what Saudi Arabia did in the first game. I mean, the pressure that they put on Argentina with their high press was immense, and Argentina was suffocated, literally. They had no openings. I think they had three goals ruled out for offside, but literally that was the only way they were going to score because they were just suffocated.
It was a very high line, if I remember right.
It was an unbelievably high line. Yeah. And I remember we were watching and we thought it's just a matter of time before they unlock this, they work out how to to beat them, how to penetrate them. But then Saudi Arabia came out in the second half and did the business, did the damage. So.
Those goals that were disallowed were fractions. They really were. The narrowest margin.
And the Socceroos have played a reasonably high line, probably except for the France game. We heard yesterday in the Denmark clash. Matt Ryan, the first half was really eerie. It was quiet. And you could actually hear, for the first time ever in a World Cup game, certainly a game I've attended, the players talking. Yeah. And Matt Ryan was pushing them up. So in part to close the space for Christian Eriksen.
Gents, a lot of the stuff that we've been seeing with the Socceroos has been this, the talk of being on the front foot. It hasn't necessarily meant with the ball all the time. It's meant in terms of the energy and the pressure and the press they've put on the opponents, particularly the highly skilled Danes. To Michael's point, it may be quite obvious what the game plan is here, energy reserves permitting, because we know that's going to be an issue for both sides, that it sounds like the Socceroos' attitude, physicality, a bit of desire to win the ball higher up the pitch may be the way to go about this encounter.
Well, talking to Graham Arnold this morning, and he said a couple of things. Number one, I said, I'll save you some analysis. That second goal last night came after 47 passes or 37. How do you stop that? And he said, in their faces. That's the only way, is to get in and disrupt them. And in terms of Messi, his view was that Poland had focused too much on Messi in that final group game to the detriment of their game plan. His view was the nearest player picks him up just as the nearest player picks up everybody else. there has to be a collective marking, because if you're just looking at Messi, there are so many other players that can hurt you.
And the way the Socceroos handled Christian Eriksen, I think, is a really good case study as to how they'll handle Messi, because Eriksen was getting into some really dangerous positions between the lines, and I was looking really closely at Aaron Moy and Jackson Irvine, the two holding midfielders, and at no stage did they get nervous or crumble. They kept their positioning. It was all about the collective shape. Occasionally, when the opportunity arose or they needed to, they'd go and close down, but they just backed themselves in to keep their shape. So obviously Lionel Messi is a different level, and he can punish teams as he has done for the last 15 or so years. But yeah, I think that's the way they'll play it. I mean, the old days of man marking Paul Wade on Diego Maradona in 1993, following him to the change rooms are over.
Following him to the change rooms. How does this Argentina crop? We obviously know they won the Copa America, and that was a massive moment for them. But how in 2022 are they coping with adversity? Because we all feel Denmark didn't last night, and the moment they did go 1-0 down, they looked like they went off the boil. Tunisia in moments. That they didn't cope with the pressure as well. How does this Argentina side cope under duress?
It's a good question, because they haven't really been tested under Scaloni. I mean, they had that great 36-game winning run. They beat Brazil, obviously, in the Copa America final, a very weak Brazil, it must be said. But they probably, it's a different pressure when you're playing a World Cup, isn't it? So they will be, if Australia can really apply the pressure, and whether they go with that tactic of playing a high line or whether they go with man marking, which they probably won't, obviously, or some whatever tactic they go for, I think it's a bit of an unknown in terms of how Argentina's going to respond, because they probably haven't really been tested. They haven't needed to come back from a goal down in a big game for a long time.
Just on Messi, can't get enough of Messi. No. It's interesting watching Portugal. Ronaldo went there the other night. He kind of looked like he got a flick on that Bruno Fernandes cross, but he didn't. And they put in an official complaint to try and get that goal. I'm not sure where it would have left him in the all-time scorers charts for Portugal. But what about Messi and his teammates? How is he viewed and respected by his teammates, Argentina teammates?
A lot. I mean, obviously he's respected by opponents and by teammates alike. One of the things that has changed, I think, in the Argentina squad in the last few years is that Messi has become a leader. He's always been a leader on the pitch, we know that, but he's become more of a vocal leader. He's making speeches before games. And people say when Messi talks, everyone listens, obviously, with the presence that he has, the record that he has. And he has become more of an outspoken leader now. He's more confident. He realizes his position in the team and the responsibility that he has. And I think he's taken the criticism along the years in a good way, and now he's making an effort really to be a greater presence in that team and to lead by example. And Scaloni is, let's not forget, Scaloni is very close to Messi. They play together, if I'm not mistaken, and they've always been very close. So the fact that Scaloni's in there, we compare this Argentina to the last Argentina with Jorge Sampaoli. Sampaoli was a disciplinarian, a very hard taskmaster, not very friendly with the players. And this time around, they've just got this great team spirit. And I think that comes down to Scaloni being kind of on mates' terms, I guess, with the players, and the fact that Messi is very comfortable.
Interesting stuff. So before we move on, I guess, what's the feeling? It's 48 hours from the game. I mean, I think roughly by the time this podcast gets released.
Scaloni was blowing up about how short the turnaround is between games. Rene Meulensteen, the Socceroos assistant, ditto.
Is that an issue? It's an issue for both sides. Australia has had a big physical toll, really big physical toll. But that we were at training this morning and it was all about recovery. It was almost to the point that the media had to wait, because it was all about when the players were eating, how much time they were going to spend standing. Normally we'd talk to them standing, but they were sitting at the press conference table to make sure they had their weight off their feet.
Riding bikes in swimming pools.
Riding bikes in swimming pools. We discovered, Matthew Leckie, that was a thing. I didn't know that was such a thing. So Australia's going to be in the best possible condition they can be. What about Argentina?
Well, most of them are used to these short turnarounds, aren't they? Playing in Europe, often they have 2 days or 3 days to recover. So this time might even be better than a normal World Cup when they're playing at the end of a long season. They've only been playing for 3 or 4 months. Mm-hmm. So Yeah, physically it's going to be the same for both sides. Argentina, we know that Di Maria is under an injury cloud, but we don't know. There are probably other players as well that are suffering niggles, as we know players do during a World Cup. So it's going to be tough for both teams. It's a day less, isn't it, than the group games to recover.
Mm. Even though England and Senegal have 5 days.
Yeah, bizarre. That's insane. I don't know how they've scheduled it. It's quite wacky, but. Just on Argentina, obviously, lots been made of Messi, Di Maria, selection question mark. We saw McAllister and Alvarez scoring the winning goals in the 2-0 win over Poland. Who is the other player the Socceroos really need to look out for?
You mentioned Alvarez. I'm a big fan of Alvarez. I think he's starting to feel really comfortable at Man City as well. He's getting a lot of confidence from Pep Guardiola, and I think his form for River Plate last year was incredible. I know it's only River Plate, but you just knew that you were looking at someone special. He was just banging them in for fun. And I think that he's going to be – I think he'll start. I think he's going to start as he did last night. I think he'll start again, which will mean Lautaro Martinez will be on the bench. What a luxury. It just goes to show the depth
We've
of talent.
We've got Jason Cummings.
Yep. Garang Kuol, et cetera. How good's Placey's pronunciation, by the way? Born and bred in Australia, lived in South America for a while, but just relishing
like
the absolute.
Almost like me with Fran Karacic.
We've been listening to, for those regular listeners, we've been listening to Tom absolutely botch his French pronunciation. You've shown some promise, but, let's be honest, some wild inconsistency with your pronunciations.
As for Davidovich's English.
Very good.
We've got the sound effects button here.
Yeah, very good. Hey, Michael, just to wrap up on Argentina, with pressure on Lionel Messi, the era, pressure on Argentina. Pressure on Argentina because there's a prospect that Brazil could go really, really deep, that Brazil look good. How are, from your point of view and from South American coverage, how is Brazil placed and how much pressure does that put on Argentina by consequence?
Yeah, well, they do have that tit-for-tat rivalry, don't they? And we know that Argentina won the Copa America last year, which, obviously scored them points on that front. And they're always looking at how each other are doing, and a lot of them are good friends. And Messi and Neymar, as we know, are the closest of friends. So I think they'll both be looking at each other's results and the players, the fans as well from both countries. And as you say, Brazil are looking really good. I think they've conceded 2 goals in their past 9 matches, so... We talk about Brazil's offensive strengths, but they're also very good defensively, and they're going to be very hard to beat.
Who's your tip for the tournament, Placey?
Brazil. I think Brazil are going to be Brazil, and then probably Spain and France, probably a level below. Although we saw France were disappointing last night. Obviously, they had a lot of changes in their team, but I would say Brazil, and then probably Spain next.
Interesting. Boys, I think that's all we've got time for today. Any other thoughts from the Socceroos camp that you guys want to bring up at all? We're hearing from Lecky and Deganek today.
No, I think their entire focus is now on themselves. They're talking about Messi today, but they're in that sort of zone now of recovery, of the muscles trying to recover, nicking the protein, trying to sleep, and just get some energy back in.
I just love listening to Matt Lecky off the back of his goal, his world-class goal. I mean, the whole country of Australia's gone absolutely gangbusters, and Matt Lecky just rocks up as if, he's played another game for Melbourne City or Hertha Berlin or whatever it is, and, just going about his business as per normal, completely unfazed. That's Matt Lecky. And I think that's why he's so important to this team. He'll turn up here. He said he doesn't care who he plays. He actually relishes, the opportunity of coming up against the big boys. He'll... drop his shoulder, he'll get stuck in, and I think he'll bounce back. He's a physical specimen as well. He will cause, hopefully, Argentina some problems.
That he will bounce back for sure. Bizarrely, gents, the next podcast we do is Matchday -1.
Oof.
So the next time you hear from us, we'll have been to the pre-match press conferences for Argentina and Australia. We'll be bringing you the latest news there. We'll have the big preview for the round of 16 clash between Australia and Argentina. Who would have thought a couple of weeks back that we would be doing. Michael, thanks for joining us. Thanks for dropping in, giving us your insight.
Thanks for having me.
The Australian, our audience is now well and truly up to speed with what's going to go on Saturday night, Sunday morning in Australia. Dave, Tom, always a pleasure. Until the next time on the Keep Up in Qatar podcast, enjoy all the action from the World Cup.